I read Paula Smith's My Response to an Unknown Author today. You can find a response here. Her response was a very succinct response to the accusations and tone of the letter from an unknown author. This letter is a response to the two-minute speeches, and in my case, also the follow-up questions, given at the delegate forum presented by the Chamber of Commerce. You can find my speech and follow-up questions here. There are a few things I'd like to add, especially since I believe a few lines were directed to me generally and at least one specifically. As with Paula, my responses will be in bold, followed by the word answer. I will not go over every point, since Paula did such a wonderful job. I recognize that people vote with feelings and not always with facts. Buzzwords like lower taxes, transparency, inflated budget, and cut waste tend to generate the cheers and applause of audiences. Playing to crowds' emotions is always a campaign tactic intended on generating votes. Answer. While playing to the crowd's emotions is always a campaign tactic, the fact that there are so many delegates running shows that there is a great amount of discontent with the direction the city has been taking. Added to the censorship that has occurred, and somewhat been rescinded in the city council chambers, emotions are already high among a majority of the population, especially those who have been paying attention. I'm amazed that so often, when asked what waste, where is the lack of transparency, or what part of the budget is inflated, no specific answers are given. Answer. You've never asked me. I would tell you, as I tell so many constituents, that we, the general public, aren't given the line-by-line budget. In the summary of this year's budget, it does talk about the $660,000 allocated to replace the aging armored vehicle used by SWAT. When asked about the requested vehicle between the two public hearings on the budget, Chief Whitehead told the St. George News, found here, that having an armored vehicle would be useful in a dangerous situation. Not life-saving, not mission-critical. In the two hearings, it was also stated that St. George City had the only SWAT team in the county, and that on multiple occasions they have had to borrow an armored vehicle from other agencies. Those two statements conflict. If you're the only SWAT, why does another agency have an armored vehicle? I happen to have friends on the Sheriff's Department. They have a SWAT team, and have supplied the armored vehicle when requested. I bring this up not to bash on our police. I agree they needed to replace the armored vehicle. I questioned and still question if the funds could not be allocated over several years to place less of a burden on the taxpayer. On that point, if the city knew the vehicle was aging out, why didn't they start saving for it earlier? The real reason I bring this up is that we don't get to see the line-by-line budget, meaning it's not transparent. And if the police department is requesting this nice-to-have $660,000 addition, you know nice-to-haves are existing across every department, waste and inflated budget. 1. The City of St. George has the second lowest tax rate in the state, as provided by the Utah State Tax Commission for 2022. Answer. Yes, we do, and we want to keep it that way. 5. We heard a candidate say that the City Council has an out-of-control budget of $520 million. We need to cut that budget. Does this candidate realize the city has a water utility and electric utility, a regional airport, and a regional water treatment plant all funded by sources other than property tax? Answer. This is a shot directly at my response to the question and answer session. One thing I cannot stand in life is untruth. If the complete facts are not given on a subject, they are by default untrue. The only reason I bring up the $520 million number is that starting about 4 years ago, the city, in their budget summaries, started showing the number as a combination of the capital projects budget and the general budget. Before that, capital project budget was a separate line item near the end of the complete budget packet, and the focus was on the general budget. Why does this matter? For this year, it matters because the budget summary for 2023-2024, the city shows only an increase in the budget of 3.7%. If you separate the two budgets, the general budget increases 17.9%. I'm very aware that the capital projects budget is being used to obfuscate the growth in the city's general budget, making it non-transparent and obfuscated by design. This type of hidden truth was used when the city attempted to raise taxes last summer. At the Truth and Taxation meeting, the budget was presented in a way to intentionally lose the audience attempting to follow the presentation. Added to that, the phrase, "We support our emergency responders," was repeated again and again. If they were so important, why weren't they funded first? Because a tax increase on the back of the emergency responders was an easier sell. And when the tax increase failed, the city had committed to the 5-year plan. Lo and behold, the city was able to find funds to give the promised raises before the end of the 2022-2023 budget, proving the funds already existed and were misallocated. We need city council members who do their homework, speak the facts, and believe in and practice civil dialogue. We as a community are built on a spirit of cooperation, not divisiveness. We look after each other and work together. We recognize that there are qualified, committed, honest, and integrous people working for the city for our best good. Imagine how it affects city employee morale when they hear statements from the candidate that show little or no trust in their skills, motivation, efforts, etc. Answer: I completely agree with this statement. The problem here is that many of the delegates in this race have done and are continuing to do our homework and showing up with facts. Many of these facts show light on practices that should not be happening. We are here to try and fix issues that we see. That's why we have elections. That's why elections matter. And to be absolutely clear, at no time have I shown disdain for the hard-working employees of our cities. The closest I've come has been with the discussion of the police budget, and I've been very clear that the only reason I'm using them as an example is because the city chose to cite their budget on the summary of the budget. Of course, the tone of this anonymous letter openly attacks those who are running in a way that is not based on facts, or at least not all of them, again, obfuscating the truth. Our quality of life is impacted for good or bad by those that sit in the council seats. Answer: that's why so many of us are running. We don't agree with many of the decisions currently being made. If I don't vote, then a small group of loud voices who likely don't represent the majority of our residents can steer the city where I don't want it to go, and I can't blame anyone but myself. Answer: as you stated, if you don't vote, that's on you. Not voting is a vote. Elections matter. The majority will show their will. It may or may not be what you individually want. But if you're involved and express your views with others, we, the people, the majority, will decide the direction of the city. Please, please, please vote and encourage others to vote. Answer: every day of this campaign.